program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is finally Friday, September 30th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here. We're glad to bring you this next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, interviews, and more. It's been a long month, and it's going to get even more fun coming up this next week. Starting October 1st, we've got a new lineup here at the Normal Network. A lot of the shows that you know and love are still going to be with us, but we're adding some new ones. We've got a new live show debuting, the Different View show, which is an all-women's talk show on cannabis issues going on, live here on Mondays at 8 o'clock. We've also got Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher coming up on October 14th. That'll be a live Friday show featuring our own Herb Thrasher getting deep into the rock and roll. And other shows include Scentsy Life Radio from X Cannabis, a Christian-themed marijuana podcast. We got Hemp Radio from Candace Hawes in the Orange County Normal. And Hemp Can Save the Planet, debuting live tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Saturdays, a two-hour show featuring Melissa White, Chocolate Ballon, and Steve Bloom from Celeb Stoner. But let's get to our own show here. Let's introduce from our virtual studio the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Having a lot of fun out here in Astoria today.
I'm glad everything's working just fine. Do you still have guests, more stashers up there with you?
I do have some stashers, Stone, Kidney, and Bongwater Beck. You're here. We just got back from doing a little hiking in the Oregon Forest. We went to Youngs River Falls. It was great. The salmon are starting to return.
Yeah, Youngs River Falls is awesome. Been there a couple times. Carrie brings us our headlines right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to talk about the Rhode Island dispensaries and what's going on there. Also, we're going to cover an Oregon bust by the feds. And since it's Friday, I snuck in a stupid stoner story. That's all coming up today.
Okay, cool. I've got a couple other stories, too, that are sitting around kind of showing how now that it's harvest season, the violence is starting to come out. The violence inherent in prohibition is starting to affect medical marijuana gardeners. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday. Boy, I can't wait for today's Rockin' Friday. Herb Thrasher is bringing us not one, but two songs from the Hellbilly himself, Hank Williams III. Two Rockin' Friday songs today, a double shot of Hank Williams III for you. Hank's put out four albums. It's really amazing, and Herb will tell you all about it. And then at half past, Danny Danko from High Times Magazine, the senior cultivation editor, he's going to be joining us, taking your live grow questions in our Cultivator's Corner. You can call in live at 971-533-7111 or get your questions in via our chat room, and Danny Dank will be here to answer them live. We're back with the news right after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply
of the sacred smoke. Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration raided a large medical marijuana grow on Thursday in the southern Oregon town of Gold Hill. Keith Rogers, an insurance agent that owned the land, said that he had made sure that he and the 20 people that he allowed to grow medical marijuana on property he owns were all legal under Oregon's medical marijuana law. But that, however, did not stop about 30 federal agents who broke down the doors of five rental homes and pointed guns at he and his wife and did a strip-style search of the house of five renters. They brought in backhoes to rip out hundreds of plants and seized all the mature plants along with shotguns, cell phones and a tractor. He says that when they were getting the tractor off the property, that the septic system for the four homes that he has on the property was destroyed and all the renters have to move out. Rogers said if anyone from the state who was administering the Oregon medical marijuana laws would have come to check his 8 acres of land, they would have looked at their papers and happily drove off, finding him compliant. He contends that this is strictly the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration throwing their weight around and saying that the voters of Oregon don't have rights. Rogers says that he was presented with a search warrant on Monday from an undercover federal investigator with the DEA. The warrant included aerial photos of his property. Keith Rogers said that the agents recorded that they seized 451 plants, but that many of them were very small, dying, or broken, so the actual number would be closer to 350. But he says that Oregon law allows a grower to have six plants for up to four patients each, and that if he has all of his paperwork verifying that the people growing medical marijuana as property were within the law, and indeed, if all 20 growers were growing the maximum, they could have had up to 480 plants to remain within the confines of the Oregon medical marijuana law. Rogers, who is 58 years old, says his land almost went into foreclosure because he was having trouble renting the houses on the property until he allowed one renter to grow medical marijuana. Then he allowed all five renters as well as other people to grow on the property, saying that he agreed to what was going on and that it was that or give it back to the bank. He still says he has a mortgage payment to make and contends he is just a guy trying to keep his property, but he feels that this setback will certainly push him into bankruptcy. But whatever the criminal outcome may be, there were no arrests made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's all about, the money, folks. Yeah, this guy is in deep trouble. The Oregon law allows six mature plants and 18 immature plants, and immature plants are defined as less than 12 inches tall, non-budding plants. So he could have had, with that many renters and everybody that was registered, could have had up to 120 of the mature plants and 360 of the immature plants under Oregon law. And like he says, if the Oregon sheriff had stopped by, they'd have checked to see that all the paperwork was legit and everything had been just fine. But no, now the DEA wants to throw its weight around. We're seeing more of this. We're seeing more raids as it gets close to harvest season. The Obama administration has not let up on this. They're just as bad as the Bush administration before them. It is time for these raids to stop. It is time for the government to start respecting the 10th Amendment and allowing the states to set their own policies when it comes to the use of medical marijuana.
And we've been waiting for dispensary regulations that were promised in part of the medical marijuana programs now in New Jersey, Arizona, Maine, Washington, D.C., and also Rhode Island. Well, yesterday, the governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, announced that he has pulled the plug on the state's program to open 3 medical marijuana dispensaries in the state. The decision comes after 5 months of delays on how to proceed with issuing licenses to 3 dispensaries that have already made it through the selection process by the State Department of Health last spring. Governor Chafee released a statement that said, quote, "After much internal and external discussion and research, I've decided that the state of Rhode Island cannot proceed with the licensing and regulation of medical marijuana compassion centers under current law." He went on to say that he believes that patients should have a safe, reliable, and well-regulated access to marijuana, but says that the Rhode Island compassion center law is, quote, "illegal under paramount federal law." He also goes on to say that, quote, "I have received communication from both the United States Department of Justice and from the United States Attorney for the District of Rhode Island that large-scale commercial operations, such as Rhode Island's compassion centers, will be potential targets of vigorous criminal and civil enforcement efforts by the federal government. I cannot implement a state marijuana cultivation and distribution system, which is illegal under federal law and which will become a target of federal law enforcement efforts. Federal injunctions, seizures, forfeitures, arrests, and prosecution will only hurt the patients and caregivers that our law was designed to protect." That's an unquote. So activists in the state are already plotting a course of action to take in the face of Governor Chafee's statement. Dr. Seth Bach, one of the potential dispensary owners who was accepted by the state to open the Greenleaf Compassionate Center in Portsmouth, has decided that he will take the state to court. He says that his concern is that the governor made this decision without reaching out to the stakeholders in the matter and did all things behind closed doors, calling the governor's willingness to, quote, "issue a decree from his ivory tower that should concern all voters." So it looks like patients in Rhode Island are under the same hopeful notion that weed fairies will provide them with the safe alternative that they have a legal right to possess.
Ah, oh, Governor Chafee. Yep. Somebody's chicken. Somebody's afraid of the big bad federal government. Governor Chafee, I wonder if you could take a moment to look at the Google and take a look at what's going on in the state of Colorado, where they have a state medical marijuana revenue enforcement division. They've got an entire state branch of government, a bureau here, a department that does just what you're talking about, just what you say the feds would clamp down on and start issuing lawsuits on. Have you seen any lawsuits or indictments in the state of Colorado? I was just looking at a map the other day that was a correlation of all of the dispensaries, infused product manufacturers, and other types of medical marijuana centers in the state of Colorado. It was amazing. The pushpins on this map just covered the entire, from Denver West. I don't know what's up with eastern Colorado, but from Denver West, just dispensaries and infused product manufacturers everywhere. And the state is bringing in revenue from this. If the feds were going to pull the trigger on this, they would have done so already with California or Colorado, states that are definitely Colorado, a state that is so regulated, the use and the distribution and manufacturing sales of medical marijuana. The fact is, the feds don't want this fight. They don't want to take this to court. They don't want impartial justices looking at the possibility that the 10th Amendment might still be in effect in our Constitution. They know they lose this battle in the battle of public relations. They know there is 75 to 80% support nationwide for medical marijuana in this country. And Governor Chafee, shame on you for trying to say that this would hurt the patients worse than them not being able to get the damn medicine in the first place.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Chris. I love it. And let's end the week with a stupid stoner story, a cautionary tale that says, hey, kids, don't try this in your town. A 22-year-old Durant, Oklahoma man was not taken to jail but questioned by the police yesterday over his Craigslist posting. On Thursday, an undercover officer says that he sold the man marijuana after answering a listing from a man who was looking, quote, to buy some green. The narcotics officer had been communicating with the man through text messages for a few days and offered to sell him some marijuana if they could meet in a public place. The man told the officer he had been unable to get any marijuana in about 4 days and was needing some real bad. The officer met with the man. He gave the officer some money in exchange for marijuana and asked him if it was okay to contact him and buy some more later. And then after he left the scene, several other officers in the area made contact with the young man, who cooperated with the officers and gave them consent to search his residence. Officers found drug paraphernalia and a substance suspected to be K2, that synthetic marijuana, inside his residence. He told the police that it was stupid of him to post it on the website, but he could not find anybody locally to buy from, so he took a chance. He was released and told that complaints of possession of marijuana and paraphernalia and use of a telecommunication device to facilitate a drug transaction would be sent to the Byron County District Attorney's Office.
Back in my day, it was, no text messaging this stuff, no using the phone. Now it's the internet, but, regardless, try and remember that this is still illegal and the cops troll these message boards and Facebook postings, just looking for easy ways to get arrests and to get asset forfeitures here. And that you may have heard that charge in there, that use of an electronic device to facilitate a drug transaction. Yeah, they pile on these extra little charges that can cost you even more time and more money. Don't do it. Make a good network of friends, meet people in person, but do not leave any sort of trail that allows the authorities to come back and arrest you. All right, I've got some news here that I wanted to bring up as well. Of course, it's harvest season, and there's a spate of stories up here that I've gone through about violence with regard to medical marijuana gardens. A story up here on the Sacramento Bee at sacbee.com says marijuana garden shootout leaves one dead, five in custody in Amador County. Neighbors reported a few shots shattering the night in rural Amador County, then more gunfire exploding like rolling thunder. Sheriff's deputies racing to the former horse property near the town of Ione found 779 marijuana plants, bullet-ridden trailers, and a dead man covered in blood grasping an empty shotgun. On Thursday, 2 days after the wild shooting that allegedly involved gang members trying to steal marijuana, Amador authorities held five young men in custody. They were juggling both a homicide investigation and a probe into possible illicit dealings in the name of medical marijuana. The deadly incident illuminates the dangerous lure of marijuana gardens, medical or otherwise, during the fall harvest season. The investigation also underscores law enforcement's dilemma in determining at what scale medicinal cultivation may constitute illegal pot growing or trafficking. And in another story, on the other side of this, this is from the Greeley Tribune. This story, Weld family accused of beating and torturing suspected marijuana thief. For the second time in 2 months, members of a northern Weld County family stand accused of taking the law into their own hands. This is in Greeley, Colorado. Three members of the Pino family of Hereford were arrested Thursday after a Wyoming man said they beat and tortured him with a 2x4 and with a knife, among other things, for trying to steal marijuana from their property. Family members are also accused of firing on sheriff's deputies after mistaking them for more thieves. Three Pino brothers also face assault charges in the beating of a man they blamed for killing their father on August 13th. Lazarus Pino, age 35, his brother Juan, age 22, and their mother Pamela, age 57, face a slew of felony charges in the alleged beating of the Wyoming man Monday. Lazarus and Pamela are in jail in lieu of $500,000 bonds. Juan's bond will be set today. This is, once again, we're seeing the violence inherent in prohibition. And my fear is that when the mainstream, when normal folks see this, regular folks that don't know much about cannabis, I should say, when they see this, they can't separate the marijuana gardens, the medical marijuana, and the violence here. And we need to do it for them as activists, as people that are better educated on the issue. We've got to tell them that, yeah, you don't hear many people getting in gunfights and shooting people and dying to try to protect the 12-pack of beer in their fridge. And we don't see many people trying to get in home invasion robberies over someone's home beer brewing equipment. That just doesn't happen. We don't see people that are tying up, beating, and torturing thieves trying to come on their property to steal their cartons of cigarettes. That just doesn't happen in a legal regulated market. It's very rare, few and far between. Let's get the violence out of the marijuana market. There's 25 million of us Americans who want this product. We're never going to stop. You've got to let us have our way. All right, folks, time to take a break here. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Herb Thrasher and some great rockabilly music with Hank Williams III. Right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Birch Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, everybody, welcome to Friday, and we're getting ready for the weekend. Lots of good college football. I believe all my teams are undefeated. How about you, Herb?
For the second week in a row, we'll play a top 15 team. What about Boise?
I see how this is going to work. All right, we'll have to work that out tomorrow while we're watching the games. Hey, man, how's it going?
Dude, it's going great, man. We're fired up this week, man. Not only are we going to get to play two Hank 3 songs tonight, but myself and Normal Rocks, we're going to go to the show. There's a sold-out show tonight here at the Roseland to see Hank 3, and so I'm going to go and check out all three sets. I'm freaking fired up.
Oh, yeah. Of course, Hank Williams Sr., of course, the great old country legend. Hank Williams Jr., a.k.a. Bocephus, out there doing his kind of country boogie thing. Now, Hank 3, tell us a little bit about his music and how it may differ from his grandpa and his dad.
Well, he's really been compared to his grandpa a lot. How it differs is, along the way, Hank 3 listened to Slayer and Misfits, and along with his grandpa, and so he was always able to combine this harder edge. But his country music is really this total traditional. It'll make you think of the Grand Ole Opry, although the Grand Ole Opry won't have anything to do with Hank 3.
No,
but his music is totally that kind of style, and he plays three different sets. There's a country set and then more of a rockabilly kind of doom metal set. And then he comes out and he just thrashes your ass. Oh, sorry, Pookie. But he just thrashes, you know, your butts off and just total metal. And so his dad, thanks for putting Bocephus in there, because he's definitely Bocephus. You know, the music really hasn't been too compared, and they're not really the same. Bocephus is definitely more of a country kind of 80s pop product of country, and these guys were more of the traditional classic country.
Right. Now, another thing that we want to make sure that we tell people before we get to the songs is the debut of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher coming up on October 14th.
Yes. Yeah, we're really proud of it. We've been working really hard. We feel like we know definitely that my personal opinion is there's a lot of activists out there, which is all of us in the show for sure, but there's just a lot of activists out there who rock, and we listen to a lot of music, and then there's a lot of musicians out there, and man, they're really interested in what we're doing. They're interested in these issues. They're just busy, and they're doing their music and their things, and a lot of times if we listen to their songs, they're really activists too. And so I feel like this show can bridge that gap a little bit. We'll be doing a lot of interviews. I'll get to play new music and older music. And, you know, if you guys have got a glimpse of the show and what we're trying to do so far, it's not about just one style of rock. We're really trying to play a lot of different kinds of rock. And this show will give us more of that. And we'll get to have some fun and bring some weirdness, late night kind of style to it too. So we're excited. It's October 14th. And we're going to have an 8 o'clock flight, and it's going to be on the Normal Network, and you're going to be there with me helping out producing and laughing, and you're going to play your bass, and you're going to freaking rock and have fun. And so I hope everyone adds that one to their schedule, and, you know, if you're going out that night, it might be a good thing to turn us on, and whatever, East Coast, when you get home at 11, turn us on. We're going to be rocking.
Right on. All right, and let's get to the music. We got a double shot of Gutter Town and Trooper's Holler, so tell people a little bit about these songs.
So Hank 3 just put out four CDs at once. It's really unheard of, but he's just been worked out. It sounds like he's been in a basement or a barn just freaking working for like a year. But there's a double, Ghost to a Ghost is a double disc, and that's more of the country style. And then he has Attention Deficit Domination, and that's more of the doom rock album. And then he has Three Bar Ranch Cattle Calling, which is just freaking crazy, crazy stuff. It's like the auctioneer cattle dude over thrash and speed metal. And so it definitely takes a taste for that one. But,
yeah.
You know, Hank, man, he pushes, man. He's the king of hillbilly, man. He's an outlaw, and he just pushes boundaries. And so what we're going to have today is a couple songs off the more country Ghost to a Ghost. And the first song is Gutter Town, And it's just a great, straightforward, traditional kind of country Hank 3 song. And then the song to follow is Trooper's Hollow. And that's more of, he's added some of that hillbilly kind of the rock, and it's just a different kind of flavor to that country style. So you get two kind of country styles, and it should be cool, you know. It definitely rocks in its own way, and he's out there doing his thing. And so I hope you guys like it, support Hank, and get out there and support your local music, and keep supporting cannabis.
Right.
Have a good weekend. You guys keep rock. Have a good football weekend, and check out Normal Rocks and all the other good shows.
All right, we will. This is Hank Williams 3 with the first of the double shot. This is Gutter Town on Normal Rocks.
I've been all around Gutter Town looking for a better frown, beating on misery's door. Looking high and looking low, I guess I'm one of those lost souls who just don't quite fit in no more. Drifting, used, and feeling down, staring at another. Someone there for you when you're dying on your dying day. Making it through is what I do to get over you. Making it through is what I do to get over you. Racing down that reckless road has hard advice that we all know. Take what you can and learn from it. I once saw Satanist lose his life. He was rolling the devil with his dice. I guess he was ready to call it quits. Fighting all night just to keep in line. Trying too hard not to lose my mind. Watching all the folks doing the same. I've been all around Gutter Town looking for a better frown. Why can't no one hear? Remember my name. Making it through is what I do to get over you. Making it through is what I do to get over you.
Hank Williams 3, Gutter Town, from one of his new albums out there. One of four new discs that he's just dropped on September 6th. Big thanks to Herb Thrasher for the tunes. Also, Don't forget, October 14th, the debut of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher, our new rock and roll show here on Normal Show Live. All right, time for another one. More Hank Williams 3. This is Troopers Holler on your Rockin' Friday Double Shot.
I'm running my dog in the Tennessee Holler, listening to what he's saying. I'm running my dog in the Tennessee Holler, listening to what he's saying. I'm running my dog in the Tennessee Holler, listening to what he's saying. Saying, old Trooper Dunn got that big old coon, I can hear that's what he's saying. Old Trooper Dunn got that big old coon, I can hear that's what he's saying. Old Trooper Dunn got that big old coon, I can hear that's what he's saying. He got that coon and now he's ready to see his bits for lay. He got that coon and now he's ready to see his bits for lay. Say. If you're stepping on my land, you know what old trooper's gonna say. If you're stepping on my land, you know what old trooper's gonna say. If you're stepping on my land, you know what old trooper's gonna say. Shine again today. That sun's going down. It's time to hit that shine again today. That sun's going down. You know it's time to hit that shine today. That sun's going down. It's time to hit that shine again today. I'm a running my dog in the Tennessee Holler, listening to what he's saying. I'm a running my dog in the Tennessee Holler, listening to what he's saying.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence.
After COVID.
Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
I've heard police work is dangerous.
It is. That's why I carry a big gun.
Aren't you afraid it might go off accidentally?
I used to have that problem.
What did you do about it?
I just think about baseball.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivators Corner.
All right, welcome everybody. So glad to get here to this Friday. We missed him last Friday. It's usually the fourth Friday of the month that we speak with Danny Danko, but Danny was busy, so we pushed it ahead to this fifth Friday, this rare fifth Friday that we get. Danny, how you doing?
I'm great, Russ. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I know you got to be real busy because that High Times Medical Cannabis Cup's coming up in a couple of weeks. What's the latest on it?
Yeah, it's October 15th in Detroit, and the latest is we've got Royce the 5'9" and 420 Funk Mob performing, which is pretty exciting on that Saturday. And then we've got 2 days of panels and expo and, you know, all the usual stuff that we bring, our prop one area, I think it is, in Michigan. And, yeah, it should be really exciting. And I just returned. The reason I couldn't do the show last week, I was in Basque Country in Spain, working on a story about a seed company called Binosun. So that was pretty interesting, too. It has been busy, but a good kind of busy.
Yeah, yeah. And how about upcoming episodes of High Times Free Weed with Danny Danko? We play it on Wednesdays at 5, and people are itching for a new episode.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the circumstances have been that I wasn't able to record last week or the week before, but we are recording Monday and Tuesday for the Wednesday show this week, and hoping for a real good show this week. It's going to be our eighth episode, and, you know, we're working on securing some really nice guests from the activism spectrum and the cultivation world, and we're going to go the full hour, if not more, this week, just to compensate for having missed a couple of weeks prior.
Oh, right on. Well, I want to remind everyone that we're taking live cultivation questions here on our Cultivator's Corner. You can dial in to 971-533-7111. That's 971-533-7111 and ask your questions of High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko right now. The phone lines are open. We're also taking your questions through our chat line at Ustream. And if you get into the chat there, you can send them to me, Radical Russ, by private message, or you can send them them. You can send them just right there in the main chat window, and Cannabis Carrie will pick them up and bring them over to us in our private chat. However you'd like to get your question answered, this is the time to do it. Now, Danny, there's been a lot going on as far as medical marijuana, and of course, it's harvest season now and outdoors. And I did some news stories today about grows being, you know, invaded, being robbed. And I'm wondering if you might have any tips for people that are currently harvesting to, you know, help keep their grows secret, or how they should, you know, protect their grow.
Well, I mean, the first thing is just definitely not to let a lot of people know about it, as few as possible, with the ideal number being just yourself. And then, you know, dogs are man's best friend. They're also, grow, you know, garden's best friend. You know, your first real line of defense is if there are, invaders or people on your property, you know, snooping around, the dog's going to know long before you do and, hopefully alert you to the presence of, somebody. And then, you know, there's a lot of items now on the market, motion detectors, cameras and things that basically will discourage thieves, and also, you know, just posting signs, making them aware of the fact that you have camera system and motion detectors, and that, you know, especially in medical marijuana states, that you're compliant with the state law and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's three good ways. And then, you know, obviously, you know, some people will sleep, you know, in a tent out by their outdoor garden or greenhouse. You know, that never hurts to be as close to the plants as possible, because, you know, rippers tend to show up when they're least expected, in the middle of the night, or, you know, at times when you may not be near the plants. So, and harvesting, I mean, you know, it's going to smell. The most really is when you're and start drying, you're really, getting rid of a lot of that moisture, and a lot of that odor is permeating. So, anything you can do to cover up the odor if you're in a, you know, well trafficked area, but, hopefully you've chosen your location wisely and you don't have that issue.
Yeah, we'd hope so. Now, you know, there's two things I didn't hear you mention, and I'm glad they weren't mentioned, and that is pack a gun or build a booby trap. You know, that's the thing I want to get to is here. Some people think, you know, I'm going to set up some sort of, you know, big elaborate system to catch the guy or something. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Definitely don't do that. As far as guns go, I mean, I know, you know, some people have them, and, you know, I can't tell people what to do, but my personal philosophy is that having a gun brings violence to you, you know, mm-hmm. in some ways, unless it's, you know, for protection against, you know, animals or something like that. If you have a gun with the intention of using it to defend your pot garden, you might want to reevaluate the whole situation at that point. I've lost too many friends to gun violence to be supportive of that. Yeah. And booby traps, same thing. I mean, that's more trouble than it's worth. You're going to get in more trouble if you injure someone with a booby trap than you will, for the most part, for growing. So, your best bet, like I said, is just to post signs to make those people aware that, hey, you know, they're not going to get away with robbing you. I mean, I'm handing this going by here. Basically, this is Brooklyn now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, both of those things are things I definitely would not recommend. You know, people who live in remote areas where there might be bears and coyotes and things like that, they may need a gun. You know, but I would say, you know, definitely not to be used on other human beings or I don't know. I just think find that to be bad karma for growers.
All right. Well, we've got
anybody, really.
Yeah, we've got a live caller calling in, 503 area code. You're on the air with Danny Danko. What's your question?
Hello. Yeah, this is Reem 420, a stature of a few years. I've just been in the chat room lately. But I have a question for Danny. We have a few flyers going around Oregon. One of them's called the Oregon Cannabis Connection. And in the June, July edition, it talks about the 12-1 method for vegetative growing. So where you do 12 hours of light, 5.5 hours off, and then 1 hour of light in the middle, and then 5.5 hours of light off again. So you immediately save 5 hours of electricity right off the top. And I want to know why it's not taught in any of the grow books. And it's in some...
What it does is it limits the amount of light. It keeps your plant in the vegetative stage, but it really limits the amount of light that the plant is getting during that stage. So I recommend 18 to 20 or so, maybe even 22 hours of light during the vegetative stage.
That's really not a natural light cycle, 22 hours of light, so I really don't understand that.
What's more unnatural is to give a plant light in the middle of the dark cycle to shock it into staying in the vegetative stage. Now, if you're trying to save money, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I think you're depriving your plants of light.
I've been doing this method for 2 or 3 weeks, and I've seen immediate results. And I encourage everyone to give it a shot. And it's not any more stressful than what you're recommending. And I'll take the off-air comments.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Great. Yeah, good luck with that. Shout out to all the people in the chat room and the people who have been following the show and everything. There's a lot of different opinions and varying ideas about light cycles. I tend to just keep it simple, like, 18 to 22 hours of light. During vegging, if you're trying to save money, I would go with the 18. Interrupting the, doing the 5.5 hours, the 12 hours of light, and then 5.5 with an hour of light in the middle, it is going to keep your plant in the vegetative stage, but you're only giving your plant 13 hours of light a day. So, inevitably, it's going to grow slower during that vital vegetative stage. Now, you will be saving money on electricity. But I think you'll pay for it in the final yield.
All right. I just put my plants under strobe lights. That takes care of the whole problem. No. All right. We have another question coming in from Spike420 wants to know, how many weeks before harvest should I flush my plants?
I recommend 2 weeks. That's usually about enough for a long flowering sativa. Yeah, pretty much indicas or sativas, 2 weeks is a good flushing time. If you're growing hydroponically, you can get away with a little less because the medium isn't completely saturated with nutrients as much as, it's not oversaturated the way that soil can get towards the end of flowering. But I would say about 2 weeks is good. And you'll see a little bit of yellowing and a little bit of fall coloring, and that's okay. I mean, that actually is showing you that there's chlorophyll and, a lot of those minerals and salts that are leaving the plant, which is really what you want as you approach harvest day.
Okay. Hempster420 wants to know, how exactly does light dep work? And I guess he means light deprivation?
Mm-hmm. Light deprivation is a technique that's kind of been pioneered in Northern California. It's spreading now. I even saw people in Spain doing that, and what you need is a greenhouse with a retractable darkening device of some sort. It can be as crude as every 12 hours pulling on and off like a dark curtain from the top of the greenhouse, or some of them are automated with a winch that people turn to do the covering and uncovering, and some of them are actually like solar powered or motor powered, which is probably best if you're not going to be there every 12 hours to either open or shut it. But what it does is it gives your plants the 12 hours of flowering, even if there's, naturally 14 or 18 hours of sunshine. So you can start the flowering process earlier in the summer and you can be harvesting in, June or July rather than September, October. And, what that does is it helps you avoid the rippers. It helps you sometimes avoid, helicopter police flyovers. And it also can help you avoid typical issues with mold and Pythium and Fusarium and things that usually attack around now, in September, October time. If you're already harvesting in July or August, you can avoid that. And people also, outdoor growers can get 2 harvests in the summer from doing light deprivation as well. So it's definitely something people are pioneering and have been doing for years, but it's becoming more and more popular.
You know, there's something, a subject that came up at the Portland Hemp Stock, and I've heard it bandied about a couple of times, and it's this, it's about hemp, industrial hemp, and sometimes I hear outdoor growers saying things like, you know, if industrial hemp's made legal, you know, keep it away from the Emerald Triangle, grow it in Tennessee. Someone said that on our show yesterday, or at the Hemp Stock, they were saying, boy, if somebody tried to build a hemp field near my medical grow, I'd burn their hemp field down and shoot their dog. I mean, how much is there to this, you know, whether or not hemp, if it's made legal, how it would affect outdoor growing? How far would it have to be away? What kind of things could you do to prevent the pollen from cross-pollinating? I mean, is right. this really a worthy scare?
You know, I mean, if it's within a mile or two of your grow, it can, you know, pollinate your plants in it. And so it is, you know, people are being a little bit alarmist, I would imagine. And I think that if we can get the cooperation of the hemp farmers, they can grow hemp without releasing pollen by either using feminized hemp seeds, you know, or, you know, and growing all female hemp plants. Because to them, I don't think it matters in the hemp business, from what I recall, whether you're growing male or female plants.
Sure.
So, and the hemp fields that I've seen up in Canada in years past, they had males and females next to each other because they were growing for hemp seed. Mm-hmm. But if you're growing for fiber, then they can really, you really have no issue with cross-pollination. If anything, our rogue males might pollinate their their females and raise the THC level on the hemp plants, but hopefully it wouldn't work the other way. And really that relies on, I guess, communication when the hemp starts growing. I mean, really depends on what, you know, what the hemp farmers plan to do, whether they're growing for seeds, whether they're growing for fiber, and, you know, how cooperative will they be. That, you know, they're obviously like-minded in some ways, so they're not going to want to, you know, do anything to dilute our gene pool.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely a valid concern, but I don't think it's something people should be freaking out about. And I think that there's answers to solve that issue, whether it be planting the hemp in specific areas that are far enough away from, you know, places where, you know, tons of people are growing cannabis, non-hemp cannabis, or whether it be, you know, adapting, you know, their seed stock in order to, you know, not end up pollinating large swaths of the area.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when people react like that to these things, my reaction to that is, hey, I have an idea. Let's make it legal and figure it out. Right?
Let's not make it. If they're using that as a reason to fight against hemp, then they've sort of lost the course of what we're trying to accomplish. So, yeah, exactly. The alarmism and the sort of like freak outs that people have on these issues are, you know, they tend to be just that. They tend to be overreactions. And, you know, there's always ways and things we can do once we do free the flower and the hemp and cannabis. You know, then we can get down to the business of figuring out how everyone's going to coexist. You know, that's the easy part.
That's a high-class problem.
Exactly.
Hey, folks, we're just out of time here. Unfortunately, if you didn't get your question answered by Danny in time, you can always send it by email to dan@hightimes.com. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah, or deardanko@hightimes.com. And I'm going to answer the questions either on the show or in print in the magazine or both. You know, I've been answering a few of the questions I get from the podcast in the magazine as well. So, yeah, to help let people know, it's hightimes.com/freeweed, and you can subscribe there. And we're going to do a new show next week, and very excited about. And right on.
Stay tuned. More Danny Danko coming up this next Wednesday. And, of course, the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in a couple weekends away in Detroit, Michigan. You'll see Danny there, so you got to make it out there. It's going to be great.
One thing I want to mention about that as well, actually, is it's going to be our first Veterans and Pot panel, which I'm really excited about. Michigan is the home of the Veterans for Medical Marijuana Movement, so I'm excited about that, too, for post-traumatic stress syndrome and a lot of the major head injuries and things that our veterans are suffering. they need to get cannabis instead of prescription pills or alcohol.
I completely agree. Thank you, Danny, for everything. We'll see you next time on the show.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
All right, everybody, for Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next week. For those of you listening live, stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Hey!